Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, could a hellhound be the visitor a listener finds beside her bed at night? Gotta love those hellhounds. A man living alone finds he may have a helpful but ghostly roommate. A couple from a different era stand by their car and quietly watch one of their descendants. Also, a little girl narrowly avoids death thanks to a helpful stranger. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm good.
Another fine day for ghost stories, albeit not Halloween. That's what we do.
Yeah.
It's just ghost stories all the time here. I wonder what would happen if you called like Petco and do you have any hellhounds in right now? How would they respond to that? There's not like a dog breed called hellhound, is there?
No, but I bet you if you got one of the, you know, minimum wage teenagers that work there, they'd probably go ask their manager.
Oh, let me see if we got any of those.
Can you get any of those in? Like, if you called, you know, like in the other stores, can you call around for me so you can get me a hellhound?
They're probably thinking you mean bloodhound.
I'd be very specific. Not bloodhound. I really want a hellhound.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking, you know, the baddest of the bad here. You know, we want one of those, you know, red eyes.
Let me go. I'll look into it, okay?
That's probably how that would go.
Yeah.
That would be exciting to do. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. You know, if I do have a phone hookup where we could actually attempt that if we wanted to.
We're not going to start prank calling on the show.
The newest feature of Real Ghost Stories Online, prank calls to pet stores. Yes. That's what I used to do at my show. It wasn't about ghosts, though, either. So
you've moved on.
There you go. Excited about these stories. Let's go to our first one here today. Vanessa writes in. Hello, it's Vanessa from San Jose, California. I just have some quick stories. Nothing really ever happens to me. Only a couple of times did stuff actually happen. Remember when I was a rebellious teenager and I knew everything there was about the whole world? Got into an argument with my mom. She told me the devil was going to get me because I was being an asshole. She said it in Spanish, of course. I was like, whatever, and went to take a shower. I was in the shower. The lights in the bathroom turned off on me. I knew the power didn't go out because I could see the lights from the hallway on. I got scared, and I started to cry and yelled for my mom. My mom said that's what I get for talking back to her. But I could tell she was a little freaked out, too, because her eyes were wide when I told her what happened. When I was living back at my grandparents' house, I shared a room with my sister. We had bunk beds, but converted them into single beds. My sister's toys would always be scattered all over our room's floor. A couple of times late at night when we were sleeping, I'd hear my sister's toy piano play by itself under her bed, as if someone was pushing random keys on the piano. Yeah, that freaked me out. Maybe it was mice? Who knows? The other time I was trying to fall asleep and suddenly I felt a firm grip grab on my ankle and pull. I got up from the bed, ran out of the room to my mom. Felt bad because I pulled a George Costanza and left my poor sister in the room by herself. She was asleep anyways. Just little things like that would happen to me. My sister, on the other hand, has had a few experiences when we were younger. I'd always remember my sister liked to play with the pots and pans on the kitchen floor. She'd often cry and say that she saw someone in the kitchen with her. She even said she saw duendes once. Did I say that right?
Duende.
Duendes once. Duendes are like elves or little spirits that are mischievous. In our Mexican culture, duendes are considered to be paranormal. My mom told us that this one particular time my sister was playing inside one of the bottom cabinets and that something spooked her. She started crying and my mom went over and picked her up and cursed out whatever scared her. She picked up my sister from the floor and held her in her arms and started to leave the kitchen. That's when she heard all the dishes fall to the floor. She turned back to see that nothing had fallen. She cursed whatever it was again and didn't hear anything else that day. I remember during the hot summer nights, my mom, sister, and I would often sleep in the living room with the front door open and the metal screen door locked to let the cool breeze come in. We were all in the living room, all laying on the floor. I was asleep next to the kitchen. My sister was in the middle, and my mom was lying next to the front door. They were both watching TV when suddenly my sister started to scream and cry, saying that she saw someone standing in the kitchen looking at all of us. My mom's motherly instincts kicked in and got really pissed off that someone or something scared her baby girl, so she told me to switch places with her so that she was lying next to the kitchen. She started yelling and cursing, telling whatever it was to leave my sister alone, calling it a coward for scaring my sister. She was just getting off on whatever it was that scared her. My sister and I eventually fell asleep. My mom stayed awake for a bit, then she too fell asleep. The next morning, she was telling my grandma what happened that night. She said when she was about to fall asleep that she felt someone in her face that whole night. She felt negative and heated energy around her and against her face. She wanted to open her eyes, but something told her not to open them because she knew she was going to see something. My sister told me this story just the other day. When my sister was in fifth grade, she came home from school and found that the door was locked and didn't think anyone was home. Just when she was about to knock on the door, she heard commotion inside the house and dishes breaking. She heard the dogs howling and whimpering through the door. After about 5 minutes, our uncle came home and she told him what she was hearing. And he unlocked the door and went into the house and found that everything was as it should be. Everything was in place and nothing was broken. The dogs, on the other hand, looked stressed out. Poor guys. We found out later that our great-grandmother had passed away that same day. A lot of things happened in that house, which, by the way, my family still lives in. I love that house. It's the house I grew up in. But you won't ever find me in there alone. I'm still gathering information and stories from the rest of my family to write them in. I know my mom shared her Lake Tahoe story, and she's actually in the works of writing in another story. I'm an EPP and have no regrets, or should I say, regerts?
Regerts. Did we say that once?
Did I say regerts?
I think maybe you did.
Well, I don't know. You guys are awesome. I love the community that you guys have built, and I'm happy to be part of it. I feel like I'm part of one big, happy, paranormal-infested family. Later, guys.
I wonder if that is a residual of the dishes, the sound of the dishes, but nothing being out of place.
Like, as it happened at that other point in time, and it's still going on?
Yeah, because the mom heard it when they were little, and then, what was it, the sister that heard it when she was outside?
Yeah.
So two different times, the same noise without having anything happen.
It's interesting. I mean, when you think of residual, you know, energy, a lot of times you think of a person or something, not necessarily just an object. But I guess if the person is connected with the object, you're just not hearing the person doing what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all part of the equation,
yeah,
if you will. I think it could very well be, because there's not a whole lot other attached to it. So, good story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Our next one comes into us from Bobby. Bobby writes, hi, Tony and Jenny. I was listening to one of your old podcasts on my way to work this morning, and Tony mentioned something about wishing someone would write in a true story in which they changed the names of people's involved to pets' names. That was a long time ago.
That was.
Obstinately to protect the participants' privacy, but in reality because it would be hilarious. And someone did this once, didn't they?
Yeah.
Well, here's number two.
Yeah.
Well, Tony and Jenny, as someone who loves introducing humor into really inappropriate situations, I was immediately struck with inspiration. So here, for your listening pleasure, is an honest-to-God true experience I had in which the names of those involved have been changed to pets' names, including mine, despite the fact that you've probably already announced it. I am also telling it in third person so that I can use the pet names more often. All right. You ready for this?
It's fun.
All right. Here we go. Our pet names story. Sprinkle's first husband, let's call him Mr. Waffles, was a man who was deeply troubled spiritually. As such, he often suffered from attacks by evil spirits, both in his waking hours and while sleeping. As an empath who at the time had no idea how to ground herself, Sprinkles usually suffered with him, picking up on his fear and anxiety. She had no idea, however, that she was also susceptible to sharing Mr. Waffles' experience. When Mr. Waffles was undergoing periods of torment from negative spirits, Sprinkles would often feel uneasy and afraid in their home, especially when alone. There were many times that Mr. Waffles was brought to a state of such fear that Sprinkles would have to use religious methods to try to put a protective barrier around him, herself, and their children, whose names for the purpose of the story will be Pickles, Captain Pancake, and Mr. Waffles Jr. Sprinkles did everything in her power to insulate Pickles, Captain Pancake, and Mr. Waffles Jr. from any knowledge of the situation and from any ill effects. Sprinkles' worst experiences, for some reason, usually occur in the middle of the night, waking her from sleep. This one was no exception. It had been a particularly bad week in terms of spirit activity, and Sprinkles was sound asleep. Very suddenly, her eyes popped open to reveal the shape of a dog next to the bed. She couldn't see it well because the room was dark, but it was unmistakably there. It wasn't enormous, but wasn't small either. Its head just level with hers. It was very, very black. Sprinkles immediately closed her eyes again, not wanting to see it. At the time, Sprinkles didn't have much knowledge of this type of spirit, though the feeling of evil from it was palpable. She has since heard these beings referred to as scouts that go looking for vulnerability, or even worse spirits can sneak in. They're called hellhounds. Being that they are told of Western, they're told of in Western Europe, where their legends are numerous, Sprinkles was filled with an indescribable terror at the sight of this thing. It wasn't that it was particularly scary looking, rather it was a feeling she got from its presence. Sprinkles' empathetic ability lit up like a frickin' Christmas tree. How could Mr. Waffles not sense it? She could hear him snoring next to her. Sprinkles knew Pickles, Captain Pancake, and Mr. Waffles Jr. were asleep in their rooms, and she hoped fervently that the black dog thing wasn't going to show itself to them. Sprinkles couldn't move. She was so terrified, and all she could think to do was pray in order to leave. Sprinkles had been taught her whole life that evil spirits have to leave if you cast them out, which she knows now is completely wrong. She desperately whispered the prayers she'd been taught and ordered it to leave. Sprinkles couldn't believe what happened next. Rather than fleeing like it should have, the thing came closer and began mocking her. She could feel its breath, warm and wet on her hand. As it spoke to her in perfect English in a deep, gravelly voice, it laughed at Sprinkles and echoed her words in a very sinister manner. It was so close she could feel its wet nose and the fur around its muzzle on her fingers, which were clenching her pillow by her face. She honestly thought she was going to die right there in her bed from extreme fear. Sprinkles tried to stretch her feet out to kick Mr. Waffles awake, but she couldn't find her legs or feet. She didn't know what the thing was going to do next. Up to that point, Sprinkles had been very quiet because she didn't want to wake Pickles, Captain Pancake, or Mr. Waffles Jr., but now she felt her tenuous grip on her self-control slip away, and she shrieked loudly into her pillow. Mr. Waffles sat up immediately and shook her, saying, "Wake up, wake up. Make it go," Sprinkles cried. "What? What are you talking about? Wake up," Mr. Waffles exclaimed, shaking her harder. "Turn on the light," Sprinkles yelled. She heard Mr. Waffles fumble with the lamp, and light filled the room. "Is it there?" she asked, unable to open her eyes. "What the hell are you talking about? There's nothing here." Sprinkles could hear confusion in Mr. Waffles' voice. She realized she could no longer hear the creature or feel its disgusting breath on her fingers. Sprinkles opened her eyes just a little to see if it was still there. There was nothing. She sat up, sweating and shaking. When she fell back asleep, the rest of the night was filled with nightmares. Sprinkles has never again seen the black dog that tormented her that night, a fact for which she is extremely thankful. It traumatized her so badly it took years before she was able to speak about it to anyone. To this day, Sprinkles cannot sleep without her hand or foot touching someone next to her so that she knows she's not alone. Fortunately, Sprinkles' second husband, Cheeseball, is very patient and understanding and allows her to burrow underneath him at night to sleep. Cheeseball was the first person to whom Sprinkles told the story, and until now the only person. She's hoping that sharing it with you guys and your audience will take away some of its power to scare her. Thanks, Tony, for the idea of taking a very traumatic experience and making it inappropriately funny. I'm pretty sure you and Jenny and Sprinkles would get along pretty well in real life. There you go.
That was fun.
That's an interesting, honestly, like kind of therapeutic exercise for someone who's gone through something fairly traumatic. And you know, I guess it does kind of take the right individual to be able to find humor in something like that. But, you know, kind of being able to work through it in more of a lighter sense, I guess.
Right.
So as crazy as the idea was, and as humorous as I just thought it would be, there's probably actually somewhat of a benefit there to it.
That might be what made it easier for Sprinkles to tell the story.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. I'm going to coin that pet name therapy.
Pet name therapy.
Pet name therapy. Change the names of people in a ghostly, scary situation to pet names.
Okay.
To work through it.
Whatever. That works.
I'm going to be talking with Oprah about that next week.
Yeah.
On a very special edition of Oprah's Masterclass.
Okay.
It will happen. Does she do, is that Masterclass? Is that Oprah? I don't even know.
I think so.
I know she has like five versions of her show now, and there's like, where are they now?
Uh-huh.
And there's some, I don't know. Anyhow. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Guys, click Tell Us Your Ghost Story, or you can even email us the audio of your ghost story. Hey, here's an idea.
Mm.
You know, we have a lot of people who right after the ghost story happened, they call the phone number and they share it, or they write in. Now with the ability to record on the phone right there, not even have to call, just roll tape, not worry about getting the connection and all that. Just record your story, not just right after it, while it's happening.
Yeah.
Share the story as it's going on when you do the audio memo or whatever you call it on the smartphone.
If whatever you're witnessing will allow it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Also, the battery gets sucked out and it's, I don't know. We haven't had that yet. We've had things happen on the phone, but it wasn't like necessarily intentional. It, you know, like, oh, this shit's going on right as I'm speaking.
Yeah.
Stuff happened while they were speaking.
But they didn't know until after the fact.
Yeah, until after the fact. That's as far as I can think. I know I think there was one where we had someone at like a nursing facility or some sort of healthcare facility where they went to like a side room to tell what had literally just happened.
Yeah, she went in the closet.
Yeah, so I guess that kind of was like it was still going on. But I mean, in the action of it, not hiding in the closet, in the thick of whatever's going on, they're recording, recounting, or just giving play-by-play, really.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where that story is going to end as you're recording it. That has yet to happen.
Right.
That would be a Real Ghost Stories Online first. We should have some little, like, fun, cheesy 1994 sounder for that. Real Ghost Stories Online first. Something like that. Really overly dramatic. And then a techno beat bed
that goes underneath. It's like,
did you take your weirdo pill today or what?
No.
Okay.
This is just me. This is just me coming up with ideas.
Okay.
To improve the world. Therese writes in, or is it Charisse? I'm thinking Charisse. Charisse. My sister and her family have lived in the same house for about 20 years. It's a small farmhouse in Tennessee, maybe about 80 to 100 years old. And the house is known to be haunted by my entire extended family and my sister's family's friends. Nearly everyone has had an experience there, including sounds of people moving around, walking when you're alone in the house, cats staring or hissing at nothing, sightings of small children in white outdated nightgowns, and a man that people often think is my brother-in-law, only to find out later that he was not anywhere near where the man was sighted. The worst of the encounters have happened in the attic, which is more like a small apartment with some attic storage spaces thrown in. For my nieces and nephews growing up, they have a lot of fairly frightening stories that caused my nephew, who had made the attic his bedroom, to ask my uncle, a preacher, to bless his room. Now they're grown and married, and I recently had to move in with my sisters for financial reasons, and naturally, I moved into the attic for more privacy and space. I've had a few experiences since moving in. First thing, while home alone and still moving boxes into storage in the basement, I heard someone walking up and down the hallway in what sounded like heavy work boots, almost stomping. I assumed my brother-in-law had come home. I went back upstairs only to find that I was still home alone. Even the cats were asleep. Also, as soon as I moved in, I started having really vivid, terrible nightmares every night that culminated with a dream that black shadow tentacle things were coming out of the walls and I couldn't find the light switch quick enough, and had a full-on panic attack by the time I got the lights turned on. I now sleep with the lights on at all times. There were some instances of doors opening and closing by themselves, including one door locked with a bolt. Finally, there was a night when I was in bed and just on the edge of sleep when I felt my mattress dip on the corner several times, like something small and heavy was trying to crawl into bed. I immediately sat up, actually thinking our large tomcat, Houdini, had broke into the attic, but nothing was there. I called for the cat, then got up and looked under the bed. No cat. I went looking and found that all the cats were where they should be, downstairs and locked out of the attic. I got angry at that point and very deliberately went to bed and to sleep without giving it any more attention. Shortly after I finished moving in, including painting the walls with fresh, bright colors and hanging all my pictures and whatnot, making it fully my space, things got better. Other than sleeping with a light on, I also placed heavy rocks and stuff in front of all the doors, propping them open all the time, even the bathroom door. I still have a heavy feeling of being watched fairly often, and I absolutely hate walking up and down the stairway because it always feels like someone is walking just behind me. And when downstairs, alone or with my sister, we often hear footsteps and sometimes louder, almost banging noises coming from upstairs. But of course, there's never anything there when I go up to bed. I've mostly adjusted to living like this. I come from a large southern family full of old superstitions and ghost stories, and we are all somewhat attuned to the supernatural side of life, so it's not something shocking, even if it is sometimes creepy or downright frightening. I feel like by establishing my presence and making the space my own, I counteracted a lot of what was going on and gained some control over, well, my fear at least, if not whatever shares the attic with me. I know for sure that the older generation who lived there prior to my sister buying the house did die in the house, and I feel like the less sinister sightings and sounds are probably an echo of him, but I don't know. But I don't think that's the only echo in the house. Thanks for listening and for providing a place where people can talk about these things without fear of ridicule.
I think it's interesting that she made the attic her place by mm-hmm. changing it. And things kind of subsided in her area.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a first. Most of the time, that would make things stir up more.
I agree. It's rather odd. It's almost like it kind of respects her
mm-hmm.
in a way. That's why I think she's very much obviously onto something with there's family there. Maybe it is family respecting family.
Yeah.
The dead family member respecting her. And maybe there was... not so much respect for the other family members that were there by the dead you know, it's kind of on a person by person basis, if you will. I mean, everybody has people, you know, in their family that they like and don't like and things of that nature, you know, especially when you get into like extended family like that, that, you know, I could totally see that.
Right.
You know, that seems to make a lot of sense. It's interesting. And it's even more interesting if it's something that they like. The dead person never met the person in real life. It's just they're making their own opinions by observing them in their life. But that's one hell of a haunted house, it sounds like.
Right.
With a laundry list of ghosts. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Tim writes in, back in the mid-1990s, I was just starting out in my career as a teacher. Like many other educators, I started as a teaching assistant. I was not making much money, but enough to afford a small apartment. Since my older brother was a landlord, I think he gave me a deal on the rent. My apartment was in a very old duplex in the Observatory Hill section of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I lived on the second floor. The apartment has had two small bedrooms, a small bathroom, living room, dining room, and kitchen. It wasn't much, but I was very happy and comfortable there. I never had any paranormal experiences in my life and certainly didn't feel that my apartment was creepy, haunted, or anything like that. The layout of the apartment is kind of important to the story, so I shall try to explain it as best I can. The living room, dining room, and kitchen ran in a straight line down one side of the apartment. The dining room contained the door to the bedrooms and bathroom. As you went through the door, the bedrooms were to the left and right, and the bathroom was straight ahead. If you closed the doors to both bedrooms, the bathroom, and the door to the dining room, you found yourself in a 2-foot by 2-foot square hallway. Hope that makes sense. It was my habit to keep the second bedroom door closed at all times when I slept at night. I kept the door to the dining room closed in order to keep my cat, Tigger, from coming in and waking me up. I lived there many happy years before I got married and moved away with absolutely no incidents, except one. We were going on a field trip one day. I had all my important information on 2 sheets of paper, you know, schedule, list of kids in my group, meeting times, bus numbers, etc. I'd folded these papers in half again, and in half again. The result was a small rectangle that would fit neatly into my pocket. When I awoke on the day in question, the paper, which was on my dresser, was gone. Did a quick search, couldn't find it, and decided to just jump in the shower and reprint the info when I got to school so as not to be late. Took my shower, brushed my teeth. When I opened the bathroom door to go into my room and finish getting ready, my eyes were immediately fixed on the small rectangle of white paper sitting on the floor directly in front of the bathroom door. Not only was this the paper that I was looking for, but it wasn't just haphazardly thrown on the floor. It was directly centered in front of the door and perfectly square to the door. It was placed there for me to find. I have no doubt in my mind. I stared at it in disbelief for a moment or two. It could not have been there the entire time. Impossible. The carpet was an awful burnt orange color, and the bright white of the paper stood out against it like a neon sign. When I regained my composure, I carefully stepped over the paper, went into my room, got dressed and ready to go. On my way to the dining room, I quickly picked up the paper, put it in my pocket, and made for the door to leave. I muttered a quick thank you as I was on my way out and tried not to think about it any longer. No luck there. As I thought about it, I decided that Tigger could have knocked the paper off the dining room table and batted it under the door into the hallway in front of the bathroom door. I decided to go with that explanation, even though it seemed unlikely that a random action like that could have resulted in the methodical placement of paper on the floor in front of the bathroom door. In 2004, I took a job in a different school district, and was moving away. I had all but forgotten the incident. On my way out the door for the very last time, I decided to say this to my roommate. Thanks for the help with the paper and for never showing yourself to me. You have to stay here now. You cannot come with me. Goodbye. I don't know if that worked or not, but I've experienced no other such incidents. I've never told anybody about this incident until years later when I shared it with my wife. She just smiled in a sort of, "That's a cute story, and I'm glad that you believe it" way. Thanks for allowing me this outlet for my story. Tim.
I guess if you're going to have a ghost, that's the kind to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's probably fairly happy in its location, and that's why it didn't need to follow him.
Yeah, it's just one of the residents of the home.
Yeah.
Still there, probably for the most part, and it sounds like for the most part, just kind of minding its own business. but it found a way to be helpful. Mm-hmm. I also do kind of wonder about something like that, where could it use the tools it has at hand, the cat, or something of that nature, if the cat did knock it off somewhere, to manipulate the cat to knock it back where it should go to help the person. Not just necessarily picking it up and moving it itself, you know, as a ghost, and, mm-hmm. you know, the things flying across the room, but using what's around to make it happen.
I think it'd be easier to manipulate the paper than the cat.
That's true. Cats are difficult to manipulate.
Cats don't do shit unless they want to.
I try to manipulate the cat all the time.
No, that's not going to happen.
I sit there. We talk for a while. Tell it stories. Say all sorts of crazy things to it. And it just never does what I ask it to do.
No.
No matter what.
He gives you hugs, though.
He does give hugs. It's kind of funny. I get kitty hugs.
Mm-hmm.
The cat will run up and hug your leg on its hind legs. And then when you try to walk away, it runs to your back and then hugs the back of your leg.
And he's not humping.
No.
And he doesn't have his claws out. He's just literally giving a hug.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. I've never seen a cat do that.
Yeah, I've had cats that do that, and then they try to essentially scale you, mm-hmm. like you're a rock wall. Or they're suddenly trying to engage in relationships with your ankle. But that's not the case.
No.
Unless it's just, you know, it's foreplay and he just really
don't
you know.
Go there. Just enjoy your kitty cat hugs.
It is kind of odd when sometimes he does put on a Marvin Gaye record before he starts giving me a kitty hug. I find that odd. He walks over to the record player, knocks the needle, takes his teeth, gets into the vinyl sleeve, takes the record, puts it on the player. Sometimes it's even John Waite. It's weird.
I have no words. You have taken a double dose of weirdness today.
John Waite, was that Missing You?
Yeah.
Did he have any other songs?
I don't know.
Pablo Cruz. He's playing a lot of Pablo Cruz. What was the one the other day where you said, nope, we're getting rid of that one from the Pandora station? It was an artist who only had like one or two songs, but a fairly complex name, and I can't think of it. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, I can't think. It'll come back to me.
Sorry.
I have difficulty even pronouncing it when I see it pop up on Pandora. You're just like, nope, none of that. Not everyone's a fan of that, you said, and then you changed it. But it was one of those artists of that era.
Okay.
Anyhow, continuing on. Michael writes in, hi, folks. Greetings from the Great White North, Canada. I live in the province of Ontario, and it's well known for haunted places because the entire province sits on a bed of limestone, which is thought to trap spirit energy. Gino Vanelli or something, right?
Oh, yeah. Gino Vanelli.
Yeah.
No. That's thumbs down every time.
They killed that from Pandora.
Every time.
What was his song?
I don't even know.
I can't remember. I've actually never seen a ghost, but I'm dying to see one, if you'll pardon the really bad pun. However, my family has seen lots of them during their lifetimes. Here are two stories that really stick out for me and I feel are more than worthy of mentioning. Both stories take place in Ottawa, where my family was born and raised. The first one happened to my aunt several years ago and requires a bit of backstory. My grandma, on my mom's side of the family, passed away long before my brother and I were born, but my mom and my two aunts have told me lots about her. Apparently, in the later years, she was a huge fan of bingo. She absolutely loved going to bingo games and was pretty competitive. Anyway, the story goes that my aunt was doing some yard work around her driveway when her neighbor happened by. They started chatting, and somehow the conversation subject turned to my grandma. They talked for about 10 minutes before saying their goodbyes. My aunt finished her yard work and started to walk back into her house. She walked up the stairs under her porch, and much to her surprise, there, perfectly in the middle of the porch, was a bingo chip. She'd recently given all my grandma's bingo chips to one of her neighbors and swore she hadn't dropped a single one. Also, the bingo chip was too perfectly centered in the middle of the... Furthermore, the timing was too coincidental because she had just been talking about my grandma. To this very day, my aunt swears that bingo chip is a sign for my grandma saying that she is okay. I saved the best story for last. This happened to my dad when she was growing up in the 70s. He was walking down the street to his neighborhood one day, and nothing was out of the ordinary. He came to a corner and went to turn onto another street, but froze in terror. Standing in front of him was several solid, full-bodied apparitions. He saw a man in black 1900-style suit, a woman in a white dress and hairstyle from the era, and a Ford Model T. The man stood beside the car, and the woman sat in the back seat. My dad swears that these apparitions were so solid and so lifelike, you'd think they were living. Neither of them moved or said anything, but just looked at him. My dad didn't stick around. He ran away, frightened, to his grandma's house and told her what had happened. Much to my dad's surprise, his grandma knew instantly who the ghosts were and implied that she had seen the same thing. Turns out, what my dad had seen were the ghosts of his great-grandparents and the Ford Model T they owned in the early 1900s. My dad lived in that neighborhood for a while, but that was the only time he saw the ghosts of his great-grandparents and their old car. I just discovered your show this week, and I'm loving it. Keep up the great work, and hope these stories make the cut. Regards, Michael.
That's pretty crazy that not only do you see the people, but you see their car, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that kind of some kind of wrinkle in time thing there?
You almost wonder, were they seeing him back, or were they just, you know, they happened to be looking in that direction?
I don't know. They might be thinking he's a ghost.
Yeah, kind of a cross mm-hmm. ghost thing, if you will. That's very interesting. And we've had stories like that where there's like the cabin in the woods that comes and goes or is mm-hmm. burned down or not. And those are always very, very intriguing to me. The first story was interesting, too, with the bingo marker.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose that's the better of the two options that she had for the grandma coming back and saying she was okay.
Right.
The other option would have been not the bingo chip, but taking the bingo dauber and writing messages on the door.
Yeah.
That would have been a little more difficult.
Just standing up right there in the middle of the porch.
Remember the bingo daubers or mm-hmm. dabbers? Is it dauber or dabber?
I always say dabber.
I wonder if it's like a regional thing, is
how
it's said. I'm not quite sure the correct enunciation of bingo dauber or dabber.
Hmm.
Huh. That's something we should know before we get old.
Yeah. It's going to be important.
It is a life skill that we should probably be aware of. I remember playing bingo with my great-grandma in the nursing home. They had a simple one using cards, and you could win a dime or an orange or sometimes candy bars. Really kind of depended what was available at the moment.
Yeah.
That was always fun. Enjoyed that. And then going to, I think, my dad's church picnics.
Mm-hmm.
Big Catholic church in Wisconsin. And they would have like all the fun stuff outside, but there was always a bingo tournament going on. And that's with the daubers. And those were serious bingo players.
Yeah.
Those people had like the 12 sheets in front of them, and they got like two daubers. They're double fisting the daubers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to town, and I'm just trying to keep paying attention to my one card. Never won at that one, but I did win a couple oranges and dimes.
The only time I've really actually played bingo
mm-hmm.
was on the Badger.
Oh, and the Badger, the ship.
Yeah.
The SS Badger across Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
Badger Bingo.
Badger Bingo. That was fun.
Did we win it all?
I don't remember because I was so seasick. I was downing rum and Coke as quick as I could.
I don't think we won. There was like one little shit that like won like five times in a row.
I know.
It was like, I think the kid rigged it.
Yeah.
I really think he got on the boat before everybody else, made some sort of arrangement with the cruise director.
Mm-hmm.
And planned on taking all of the cup holders and pencils from everyone else. I don't like that kid.
No.
Really don't like that kid. Charlie writes, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Love the show. My friend introduced me to it, and I've been a fan since. When I joined a temp service for offices, my coworkers and I would often sit around when it's dead and listen to you. It's a great way to pass time, and I honestly started playing the show to bond with this cute girl that I'll refer to as Trish. There was some odd attraction I had to her, which I've never felt before. I felt the entire goth culture was weird and humorous, but I couldn't get her out of my mind. Weird erotic dreams were the norm of her, even though she would never talk to me. Until one evening after everyone had went home and we were the only two in the office, I nervously asked if she liked your show, and she responded with, 'Yeah, it's perfect. I love the show. I love how it scares old people, and it shuts them up about their stupid grandkids.' That's my best impression. It's a very stereotypical, horrible impression.
That was horrible.
And I apologize. I don't mean it like that. I'm sure it was delightful. I'm sure it was more like, yeah, it's perfect. I love how it scares the old people, and it shuts them up about their stupid grandkids. I jumped into the opportunity to ask Trish out. We had a wild fling until we started seriously dating. We stopped being, she stopped being a goth and oddly went straight into pink shit. I started wearing all black and being the dark one. Well, there you go. That's how that works sometimes. After months together, we went on a trip to visit her parents in the deep south. Heading there, we got lost and stopped in an eerie small town to try to pick up service on our phones. On our way out, we passed a fortune teller that seemed to operate an old shotgun house. Joking around, we both wanted to stop, so we did. When we opened the door, we realized the person wasn't a typical fortune teller. There were pentagrams on the wall and what looks to be animal heads mounted and covered in black paint. Even though we were into horror movies and dark shit, we both kind of freaked out and made our way out the door. Before we could leave, an old timid woman met us on the porch. We had not seen her on that damn porch when we walked in and talked us into coming back in. She looked like a typical cat lady. Crazy hair, weathered skin, animal hair on her handmade sweater, and a smell of decaying flowers followed her as she made her way to the table in which she had us sit. After the initial greetings and us paying, she said some shit that instantly made us rethink our relationship and our lives. She said that we had been together before in different lives and that there was a dark presence reuniting us for its own purposes. She brought to our attention that we had been to each other's homes before when we were children, that if we looked through old photos, we were bound to find one of us together. She also mentioned that whatever it was following us couldn't find its way back into this world of flesh and blood unless we had a child, and that it was angry because of the abortion. Shocked and uncomfortable, we left. Freaky enough, she was right about it all. We later found a photo of us at a friend's birthday party as kids, and we were both together, off from everyone else. I was wearing all black, and she was in all pink. And yes, she had aborted a baby of ours after the doctor told her that with her illness and medications, there was high risks of the child coming out deformed. Stupidly, we decided it was best that we split, and instantly we started being visited by an 8-foot-tall shadow person. It just stands over us, watching us helplessly, staring back at it in our sleep paralysis state. All we can see are tiny reflective eyes like those of an animal caught in headlights. It couldn't have been human. We became roommates, and we vowed to stay close to each other just to avoid the visitations. We haven't seen it again, yet Trish gets married in a few months. We're terrified to see what happens when she leaves.
So it doesn't haunt them when they're together.
I'm glad our show could bring such happiness and sadness to someone all at the same time.
Yeah. That's odd. I mean, that's funny that, you know, mm-hmm. Our show was the icebreaker there, but I hate that it ultimately led to them having to be together or they're haunted.
That's bizarre.
It is.
So essentially, if I'm understanding it right, if the child had been born, it's kind of insinuated by the fortune teller that it would have been like Damien, essentially.
Sounds like it.
Something very dark.
Mm-hmm.
But now it still haunts them when they're apart. Mm-hmm. It's wanting them to go back together mm-hmm. for whatever reason. How do you break that one?
We'll have to wait and see since she's getting married to somebody else.
I don't know if there's any amount of sage or salt or goat's blood on your doorframe that's going to fix that one. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Let us know how that all works out. Yeah. I mean, I hope everything, you know, they find some sort of resolution there. I don't even know where to begin
mm-mm.
on that one as far as resolving. I really, if anyone has any input or opinion or thoughts, feel free to write in and let us know. Tyler writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Tyler from Buffalo, New York. I'm an EPP and enjoy listening to you guys at work for hours at a time almost every day. I've had numerous supernatural experiences happen to me, just not since I was a kid. The first story I want to tell you guys didn't actually happen to me. It happened to my mother when she was a young child. Please bear with me on some of this story, as I haven't heard it told to me in some years. My mother doesn't usually talk about her experiences, since most of them scared her pretty good. So for a little background info, my mother was born on Long Island, New York, and didn't move to Buffalo until she was between 6 and 8. Not exactly sure while she was living on the island, like to call it, she had an experience that not only affected her, but my grandparents as well. So when my mom was around 4 or 5 years old, my grandfather decided to take her ice skating. I believe he took her to a local park where there was a small pond that would freeze over every year. Now, one thing that is unfortunate but an important detail is that my grandfather was, for the most part, a pretty shitty parent. Although he apparently had his moments, usually he was irresponsible and a jerk who would more than occasionally become abusive. Anyway, on this cold winter day, my mom was skating on this ice as my grandfather was walking the pond, just watching and helping her learn to skate. Now, apparently he must have wandered away, probably to grab another pack of smokes from the car. And during this time, my mother had managed to skate over a thin area of the ice and had fallen through. When my grandfather had returned, he found my mother soaking wet and shivering alongside of the pond with a strange middle-aged man. My grandfather rushed over to find out that the man had been out for a walk and was nearby when he heard my mother screaming and struggling to get out of the water. The stranger ran over and pulled my mother from the freezing water and waited with her for her father to return. Not surprisingly, my grandfather was very grateful that the stranger had saved his daughter's life while he wasn't paying attention. My grandfather insisted that he reward the man, whether it be a favor or anything he could do. The man said it wasn't necessary, but he was really set on making it up to him. He could come by and help with some work around his house. My grandfather ended up getting his name and house address and told him that he would be over within the next week to make it up to him. A few days went by, and both my grandparents went to this man's home to thank him again. After they knocked on the door, an older woman opened it and greeted them. They explained what had happened, and the woman looked very shocked and became very emotional. She explained that the man was her husband, and he had died some years back, and the man that saved my mother couldn't have been him. She proceeded to get an old photo of her husband to prove to my grandfather that it couldn't have been the same person. From what I was told, my grandfather was left speechless since the man in the picture was most definitely the same man who pulled my mother from what would have most likely been her death. I'm not sure how the man had died or if my grandparents had helped the woman with her home, since I'm pretty sure she lived alone, but I know they returned to the pond and thanked the man again for saving their daughter. So that was my first story for you guys. I'm interested in what you guys think of the whole thing. I'll write in more stories, probably the ones that I experience since they're on the creepier side. They involve a creepy, playful ghost of a little boy that dwells in my parents' apartment and bunk beds. They even wrote in ding.
Uh-huh.
Thanks again for producing this great show. I look forward to more episodes. Tyler.
I think sometimes ghosts are assigned to watch kids or areas and, you know, just kind of become guardians of some sort.
They kind of have their beat?
They do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've had stories about people that have died in a car accident kind of watching that area.
Sure.
And helping, you know, prevent things happening in that particular spot. So it makes you wonder how this man died, if it had something to do with the pond or, you know,
mm-hmm.
or what. And if that was, you know, characteristic of him to be that kind of look out for little mm-hmm. kid type person.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And I bet that the woman, the wife of the man, there was kind of a nice, almost, you know, confirmation. Oh, he's okay on the other side. I almost wonder, too, if there was any other things like that that ever happened
mm-hmm.
to her, where people came to and, hey, I saw your husband the other day, or this man helped me. If that was the only occurrence, or if there was more of that had occurred through the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Interesting story. Really good story. It's one of those happy ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Thank you for sharing that with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, you want to keep it on the air, well, hey, become an EPP. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Get all the bonus episodes of the show. Plus all the exclusive video content, and you're keeping this thing on the air. So $5 a month is all we ask. If you like it, please contribute, and we'll keep doing this. That's how it works. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.